Revelation 21. This is about our new home in heaven as believers in Jesus Christ, the new heaven and the new earth with a new holy city called Jerusalem. You're going to see in our text that John hears and sees and he goes. Three different events in this text. And it comes with an invitation to believe in the Alpha and the Omega, Jesus Christ. It also comes with a warning to those who would not believe in Jesus Christ, as we see in verse 8 of this chapter. I know this is a long chapter, but I would like to read it in detail because God put it for us in detail of what it's going to be like to be in a new heaven and new earth. And I know we're going to finish up on 21:27, but I would like to continue and read till 22, verse 7. So listen to God's most holy word. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne, saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away.' And he who sits on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' And he said, 'Write, for these words are faithful and true.' Then he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and adulterers and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, 'Come here, and I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb.' And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal, clear jasper. It had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names were written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. There were three gates on the east, and three gates on the north, and three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and all of them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The one who spoke with him had a gold measuring rod to measure the city and its gates and its walls. The city is laid out as a square, and its length is as great as the width, and he measured the city with a rod 1,500 miles. Its length and width and height are equal, and he measured its wall 72 yards according to human measurements and also angelic measurements. The material of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation stone was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh crystallite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lord are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is illuminant, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. In the daytime, for there will be no night there, its gates will never be closed, and they will bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life." I want to continue in 22:1. Then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no longer any night, and they will not have any need of the light of the lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, "These words are faithful and true." And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show to his bondservants the things which must soon take place. And behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. Let's pray. Lord, we have seen in detail what every believer is going to go to the new heavens and new earth, and in that great city of Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem. I pray, Lord, that as we look forward to being there, that you would remind us today that we need to still serve you and still be a witness for you and still invite people to believe in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. Help us now, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Mary and Martha experienced a day that some of us have experienced. Their loved one, Lazarus, was sick and about to die. These sisters knew one person who could save their brother, and that one person was their friend Jesus. They sent for Jesus, but Jesus did not come right away. You remember the story. You can imagine their thoughts as they waited each day for Jesus to come. When Jesus arrived, Lazarus had died, and many tears flowed as they buried him into the family tomb. And we read that when Jesus arrived at Mary and Martha's house, that Jesus, our Savior and Lord, wept as well. He cried. Jesus cried. Death often comes with sadness and tears. There's not a thing we can do about death in this world. This old earth of sin and corruption has brought death. That is not what our Heavenly Father intended when he had created Adam. Only God can conquer death, and only God can wipe away every tear from our eyes. Jesus, Mary, Martha, and many others cried real tears this day, for Lazarus, their friend and brother, had died. In Revelation 21, we read about the tremendous victory Jesus, the Lamb of God, had over sin and death. The story in John 11 does not end with Lazarus' death. Praise the Lord. Jesus does come and he tells Mary and Martha that this sickness will not end in death. So Jesus tells Mary and Martha that Lazarus will rise again. And he said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." So Jesus offers his prayer to his Father, and he says two words. All he had to say, "Come forth." And Lazarus came out, his feet and his hands wrapped in strips of linen, his cloth around his face. Jesus told the people to take off the grave clothes and let him go. And everyone was amazed. This chapter is a preview of what we see in Revelation 21, where Jesus, by his mighty resurrection, has conquered death, sin once and for all by way of the cross. We who believe in him will be part of the new heaven and the new earth, where we will see no more death and no more tears. So right now, my brothers and sisters in Christ, we can experience new life in Christ and know of his love because we are part of Jesus' spiritual kingdom on earth as we wait for the day when Jesus will come again and bring us to the new heaven and the new earth. So as we look at this chapter, Let us think in this way. We can look forward with great expectation to the new heaven and new earth. But we also can experience and enjoy Christ's kingdom even now. The comfort from this passage of Scripture is that we all have eternal life, both present and future. As Jesus tells us that we shall never die. We know if we are truly in Christ that there is no condemnation in Jesus Christ, according to Romans 8, verse 1. And that anyone who believes in Jesus Christ will be part of Revelation 21. William Hendrickson, in his commentary, tells us that there is a beautiful connection between the first book of the Bible, Genesis, and the last book of the Bible, Revelation. When it comes to Revelation 21 and 22, he states this. He says, Scripture resembles a flower. We find the seed in Genesis, the growing plant in the books which follow, and the fully developed and beautiful flower in the Apocalypse, or the book of Revelation. We also see comparisons between Genesis and Revelation. Genesis tells us that God created heaven and earth. Revelation describes the new heaven and the new earth. In Genesis, the luminaries are called into being, the sun, moon, and stars. In Revelation we read, and the city has no need of the sun, nor the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God lightened it, and its lamp is the Lamb, which is Jesus. Genesis describes a paradise which was lost. Revelation pictures a paradise restored. Revelation 2, 7 and 22, verse 2. Genesis describes the cunning power of the devil. Revelation tells us that the devil was bound and was hurled into the lake of fire and brimstone. Genesis pictures that awful scene of man fleeing away from God and hiding himself from the presence of the Almighty. Revelation shows us the most wonderful and intimate communion between God and redeemed man. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall tabernacle with them. Finally, whereas Genesis shows us the tree of life and the commandment not to eat of the tree of life, Revelation restores to man his right to have access to it. And it says in Revelation 22, verse 14, that they may have the right to come to the tree of life. So we see in chapter 21 and in the beginning verses of chapter 22 in the book of Revelation, the true theme of this book. It is not the judgment of evil men that should get our attention or our notice, although a lot of time is spent in this in Revelation. But it should be this in the book of Revelation. Not the devil, but Christ is victorious. God's plan in the end is triumphant. We are conquerors, for we were delivered from the greatest curse of sin through the blood of the Lamb, and now have obtained the glorious blessings and riches of Christ. And part of the riches of Christ is dwelling in the new heaven and the new earth. Revelation 21 and the beginning of Revelation 22 is a description, as I've said, of what the church will look like in the future, but also has application to us of what the church is in the present. So we're going to look at the different events right now. Let's look at the first event in Revelation 21, verse 1. Our new and final home as believers. John sees, now he's looking, and he sees a new heaven and a new earth. Now this truth is not something brand new in the book of Revelation. If you go back, even in the Old Testament, you see the prophets prophesying about the new heaven and the new earth. In Isaiah 65, we read this, Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. In Isaiah 66, 22, we are told, As the new heavens and the new earth that I will make will endure before me, declares the Lord, so will your name and your descendants endure. And then you go over to the New Testament and you look in 2 Peter, you see the new heavens and new earth. 2 Peter 3:13, he says this, But in keeping with his promise, Christ's promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and new earth. And then he says this, and I love this, he says, It's called the home of righteousness. The home of righteousness. Can you imagine a home of righteousness? No sin? Nothing. Wonderful. The first heaven and earth will go away, as we see in Revelation 6:14, 2 Peter 3:10, and now in Revelation verse 1 and verse 4. And first things have passed away. You see that? The first heaven will go away. And what does that mean for us if the first heaven and first earth passes away? Everything that you see here on earth will pass away. Peter tells us that it will be destroyed by fire. God had promised, remember, not to do it with a flood. Everything will pass away in this old earth and old heaven. I don't know what you think about that, but that's what's going to happen. Every stain of sin, every wrong or pain, every trace of death will be removed. There are no weeds or thorns, no curse of sin, no devil. They are all vanished. This new heaven and new earth is going to be gloriously rejuvenated and transformed. Kind of reminds me of 2 Corinthians 5:17. When one believes in Jesus Christ, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. You see, my Christian friends, when Jesus Christ comes again, he will make all things new with a new heaven and new earth. But right here and now, we can experience and know him as we have a new birth in Jesus, realizing that we are now part of his kingdom here on earth, citizens of heaven. Let's look at the second event in Revelation 21, 3 through 4. We saw what John saw. This is what John hears. He hears a loud voice from the throne of God saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. You see, this verse refers to the new heaven and earth, what it will be like. But this passage is for us now, even now. Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34, we're told this, the time is coming, declares the Lord, where I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. And then notice what he says all the way back in the Old Testament. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. You see, the new covenant Jeremiah is speaking about is the new covenant of Jesus Christ and the one Jesus spoke about in the New Testament. And what we see in Revelation 21, verse 3, is covenant language and an ancient covenant promise, which is found throughout the Scripture. Genesis 17, 7, Abraham says, I'll establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. I will be your God, and you will be my people. In Jeremiah 24, 7, we see this wonderful verse. He says this, I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me with all their heart. You see, God dwells even now in his church through his Holy Spirit. But one day, the indwelling of God will be perfected in the new heaven and the new earth after the judgment day. The presence of God in our lives is here and now. The Lord told Joshua, as he was about to take the place of Moses and conquer the Holy Land, that Joshua should not be afraid, but go forth obeying and meditating on the law day and night, for I am with you. Jesus tells his followers in the Great Commission, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. What a promise and a blessing we find here in Revelation 21, that our God will be with us in a very personal way, and that way is through his Son, Jesus. One day, and think about this, and this is really something I'm really, really looking forward to, we shall see Jesus face to face. We shall see Jesus face to face. This new heaven and new earth is described further by God from His throne concerning what He's done for all believers. Not only will we have the privilege of being right there with the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but we will be able to be with Jesus, sitting at His feet, face to face, listening to His words, just like the disciples did when He was here on earth. But He's done a lot of things for us. Not only is His presence available for us, not only do we know this triune God, but He's going to wipe every tear from our eyes. There's going to be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. For the old order of things have passed away. No tears. You won't need any tissues anymore. Kleenex will be out of business. Right? No more tears. No more death. No more funeral homes. Right? No mourning. No crying. No pain. Can you ever imagine that? We are going to get used to this pretty fast. We're going to love it. Because we're going to be with God and we're going to be with Jesus. And one day we're going to be there with our family members who are believers and left. We'll be there forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Wow. It's so beautiful. And so John saw that everything here is going to pass away. He saw it back in verse 1. He said the first heaven and the first earth have passed away. And it's really a curious little phrase there. It says this, and there was no longer any sea. You notice that in Revelation 21, verse 1? That John saw, and it ties what John heard and speaks to what I've said. At the present, the sea is an emblem of tossed waters. The waves speak of unrest and trouble and chaos in this world. But in the new heaven and the new earth, there will be peace. For the sea is no more. That's what it means. You won't get up and read the paper seeing how many people got killed in Orlando. You won't get up and see all the evil that we have seen in this world. That is why we need to preach the gospel. If anything's going to settle this world, it's going to be the preaching and the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ to change people's hearts and lives. We can experience this peace right now. It passes all understanding that we see in Philippians. As we continue to give up our lives to Jesus, as we continue to rest in Jesus' loving arms, are you troubled? Have you been in a few storms in your life lately? Jesus can come into your life right now and calm the seas. You need to trust Him completely and remember the blessed promise of a new heaven and new earth. For when we reach glory, my Christian friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, there will be no more trouble, no more trials in our lives, for we will be with Jesus. For the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be their God. Praise God. One day, when this life is over, we will finally be at home with our Savior. We are citizens of the new heaven and new earth right now. And it's not because we earned it, but because of God's mercy and God's love and God's grace. How many of you who believe in Jesus Christ are ready to go home to be with the Lord? Sometimes we want to hold on to this old earth, don't we? All the possessions, all the things, we're tied to it. But you know, if you read in Philippians 3:20, it tells us that we are citizens of heaven. That we are born from above, and we're citizens of heaven. Well, let's look at the third event in Revelation 21:9 and following. We saw where John sees, what he hears. This is where he goes. We see John goes with one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, a lot of sevens. A lot of sevens in the Revelation. To come and see the wife of the Lamb. He is carried away in the Spirit to a mountain. as he sees the bride of Christ described as the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. We also see this in verse 2, where John sees the church as the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And what we see here in Revelation is a radiant church in verse 11. A radiant church in verse 11. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was that like a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. Verses 13 and 14 tells us that the walls were named after the 12 tribes of Israel, and its foundations named after the 12 apostles of the Lamb, thus representing the church. What John sees is a church as it will be when Christ comes and establishes the new heaven and the new earth. It speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ in relationship with His church that is called His bride, or the wife of the Lamb, in Revelation 21, verse 9. The church is compared to a love relationship between the bridegroom, Christ, and His bride, the church, to that which exists between Jehovah and His people. In Isaiah 62, verse 5, listen to what Isaiah tells us. He says this: "As a young man marries a maiden, so will your sons marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you." God rejoices over His church. God rejoices over us. And I think of some passage of Scripture that when one sinner repents, what happens? The angels are rejoicing when somebody comes into the church of Jesus Christ. There should be great joy in our church. There should be that kind of joy that we should be shouting from the rooftops who Jesus is and proclaiming the gospel because of what He's done for us. Paul tells us in Ephesians 5, 22 through 27, that as the husband is the head of the wife, so Christ is the head over the church. That is His body, of which He is the Savior. We're told that Jesus loved the church, and He gave Himself up for the church. To make her what? To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the Word, so that He could present her to Himself as what? A radiant, a brilliant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Please note how this city, the church, is described. He sees what kind of city? He sees a holy city. Verse 2, the new Jerusalem coming down out of the heaven, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And notice this Jerusalem is called new as compared with the Palestinian Jerusalem, or the old Jerusalem that we have today. It is called holy as being separated from sin. The character of this new kingdom is holiness, where there will be no sin or corruption. It is the same character that we believers are a part of right now in Christ's spiritual kingdom, as we are called to be what? Holy. We still have the old nature of sin and corruption in us at this present time, but one day we will all be changed in a flash and in a twinkling of an eye. Our bodies at last trumpet will be raised to be imperishable, and our mortal bodies with immortality, and we will live forever and ever and ever and ever with the Lord. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 54 is the great and the victorious resurrection chapter. And that's where we find that passage of Scripture. But right now, Peter tells us that we should strive to be holy, even as God is holy, in 1 Peter 1:16. God has commanded us to be holy as we say no to sin and yes to righteousness by the strength of the Holy Spirit residing in us, for we are His new creation, given a new birth so that we can strive to be holy right here and now. So the question you have to ask yourself is, how have you been walking lately in Christ? For when Jesus comes in the second coming, Peter tells us that we should be ready, that we should be prepared. He says it in 2 Peter 3:14. He says, "So there, dear friends, since we are looking forward to this," that's the second coming of Christ, "make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him." Jesus can come at any time. Are you ready? Do you want Him to come now? Or do you say, "Wait a minute, Jesus, I've got a few more things to do"? Remember the followers, hey, wait, no, Jesus, I don't want to follow you right now because I got to do this and I got to do that. Don't come right now. But are you ready for him to come right now? Notice in Revelation 21 through 27, what John also said about the holy city in New Jerusalem. He says this, nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the book of life. Is your name written in the book of life? God is preparing us right now for our new home in heaven by commanding us to be holy, even now as he is holy. And that we as believers in Jesus Christ need to persevere to live holy lives through the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. For one day, we will be in a city that is holy. Think about that. One day, all believers will be at a marriage feast. Remember that? Revelation? Of the Lamb. And you can imagine the myriads of believers there at the marriage feast of the Lamb. But right now, we can enjoy the relationship with Christ as our bridegroom, who has paid a heavy dowry for the church. He has bought her with his precious blood, as the great hymn states. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Right now, we can express our love to Jesus as our groom, who leads and guides us in our lives. It is Jesus who has wiped away every tear and abolished death and sin once and for all, so that he has reconciled us completely to the Father. One day, Mary and Martha would experience the joy of their salvation. For Martha said this in John 11, 24, right before Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. This is what she said. What faith? She says, I know he, that's Lazarus, will rise again in the resurrection in the last day. You know, even if he doesn't come back right now, I know I'm going to see him in the last day. We too can know for sure that one day we will be reigning with the Lamb of God in incorruptible bodies, free from sin, free from death, as we sit at the feet of Jesus. What a wonderful day this will be. And only Jesus, our bridegroom, can do this. Do you believe this? Are you going to be part of the new heaven and the new earth? Are you sure that you're going to be there? The New Jerusalem, that's the holy city that we're going to be in. The church has been beautifully dressed. Not in our filthy garments, but in the robes of righteousness. Wow. Do you mean that when I believe in Jesus Christ, he takes my sin and he places it upon himself? And what he gives me is such a wonderful gift. He not only forgives me of my sins by his precious blood, but he gives me his robes of righteousness. And I now stand in the presence of God in his robes of righteousness. And it doesn't come with any cost. It's grace. It's love. It's mercy. The invitation to this chapter is what John heard in verses 5 through 8. We see the one who's sitting on the throne tells us that he's making everything new. Then he instructs someone to write these words, for they are trustworthy and true. He tells them, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink, what? Without cost. From the spring of the water of life, he who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. You see, Jesus gives you an invitation right now to come to a place where there are no more tears, no more death, no more mourning, and no more pain. We cannot deny the reality of tears and death and mourning and pain in this world, but you can experience the joy of knowing Christ here and now. Come and be part of the new heaven and new earth as you dwell in the new holy city, Jerusalem, that is described in detail in the rest of this chapter. But realize here and now that you can experience the kingdom of the Lamb. The benefits are great. The invitation is there. Come and believe in Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior and Lord. And have your name added and written into the book of life. Verse 27. Come all who are thirsty, and he who believes in Jesus will drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. You see, Jesus is the living water. He has endless flowing springs of spiritual benefits, of grace and mercy and love. And all you have to do is come. All you have to do is believe and accept Christ's free offer. Repent of your sin. And believe that Christ Jesus died, was buried, and risen again for you. And you can have that eternal life. And if you're not sure, 100%, then come and believe in Him right now. I pray that you would come to accept Jesus as Savior and Lord. If you do this, let one of the elders know so that we can pray for you. I really don't want you to be part of verse 8. There's a warning here of those who do not believe, and I implore you not to be part of the unbelieving world. It says you will face a second death and be cast in hell forever and ever. And I'm not glossing over that. This is a serious matter. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, you will be cast into hell, second death, forever and ever. Now's the day of salvation. Come and believe in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away your sin and makes you holy. Notice in verse 22 of this kingdom, of the new heaven and new Jerusalem, and the new Jerusalem, and new heaven and new earth, that this city that we're going to go to doesn't even need a temple. Doesn't even need a temple. Because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you will be so blessed to have the presence of the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, with you at all times. You don't even need a light bulb. You don't need, there's no darkness. It's going to be light all the time. You know, Third Day writes a song called Can You Imagine? I just want to quote you this song. I'm not singing it, so you don't have to run. It says, I can only imagine what it'll be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is looking at me. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, and in all you be still? Will I stand in your presence to my knees? Will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Or will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine all creation bowed down, the whole universe saying your name out loud, all our broken lives resurrected in the healing light. I can only imagine. Surrounded by forgiveness, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, and in all you be still? Will I stand in your presence to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah or be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. In Revelation 22, 3 and 4, we are told that we will see Jesus face to face as we serve Him. And His name will be written on our foreheads. We did not deserve any of this. But because of God's love and mercy, did He rescue us from our sin and condemnation of hell. We will all share in the brightness of God's glory in this wonderful city where there is no sin and death and tears, no mourning, no pain. We don't belong to the night or the darkness. We belong to the light, and the light is Jesus Christ. My Christian friends, live right now in the light of Jesus Christ and know this. One day, we will be dwelling in the new heaven and the new earth. Are you looking forward to it? I am. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are amazed at your goodness and grace and your love and your mercy. And I do pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here in this room right now that does not know Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord, that they would come to believe in Him. They'll be missing out on the wonderful experience of being in your presence in the new heaven and new earth. In the new city of the new Jerusalem, which is holy. Father, we're all looking forward to seeing Jesus face to face. And I thank you, Father, for all the blessings you give us, even now, so that we can serve you and be a witness for you. So be with us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.